Hey y'all, welcome back to the Inner Beauty Reigns podcast. This is Erica Anderson, your host and founder and CEO of Inner Beauty Reigns. And today I am going to share my thoughts about independence. I went through something recently that made me kind of revamp what I understood independence to be. And it's interesting to me how it unfolded because we live in a society that has kind of, I guess, thrown the Black woman under the bus when it comes to how we have embraced independence in the new era. And so I'm going to touch a bit, but I also want to talk about what independence should be considered at its core. Is much different than what we have been molded and kind of pushed into belief. So stay tuned. I will be back with today's episode. Okay, so first I'm going to start with the story that kind of prompted this theme. So last week I encountered a situation where I had to kind of reassess my own thoughts and beliefs surrounding independence and what it is. And I realized that we live in a society that has defined independence based on what is supposed to be your ability to maintain and handle things independent of others, or kind of operating as an island and not needing outside help in order to make things happen for yourself. There is an element of image that is tied to that, meaning if you can present that you are doing things on your own, or if you are showing outwardly that you are maintaining things, you know, you got the house, you got the car, you got the clothes, you got the job, you know, what things appear to be to outsiders has kind of been defined as success and independence. And so as I thought about that, I went through just a series of thoughts that brought me to a conclusion that really just kind of changed the game for me. And so one of the things I realized is that, you know, people have reduced, and I use that word reduced because it is kind of a limiting belief in a sense, but, you know, have reduced independence to your ability to attain and maintain material things. For example, you're independent because you work a job and pay your own way, or you're independent because you don't quote unquote depend on other people, whatever. Okay. So my thing is, we need each other to live, period. Like, no man or woman is an island. It doesn't matter like how much it's promoted that we don't need other people, or you can make it for yourself, or I'm self-made, I did this on my own. There is some level of networking that is required in most of what we do in this life. Nobody could survive on this earth by themselves without anybody else. You know, there's going to be some element of needing another human being in order to live and survive. But one of the other things that I wanted to mention when it comes to this is what it is that I have kind of determined independence to be. And that is your ability to utilize critical thinking skills, having the ability to execute things in a way that is productive and efficient. Sometimes being productive and efficient requires some level of delegation. For example, as a mother of two, a single mother of two, I work a full-time job. I have two side gigs, and I have a social life. I have family. You know, I wear a lot of hats, as most people do, as most parents do. But as a single mother, you know, it's a little bit more to it for me. But the reality is that I'm not doing this by myself. My children have fathers who helped to bring them into this world. So I personally don't have a problem calling on the fathers of my children to make sure that I can get assistance where needed. Whether that's, hey, you know, I need Saturday afternoon for myself. Are you available? Or, and I'm not going to use financial examples because I don't feel like that's necessary, an act of delegation, so to speak. But just kind of needing that assistance time-wise, or making sure that there is that level of engagement and interaction that allows me the opportunity to escape and either, you know, handle business for myself or to exercise self-care. Another thing is just around the house on a daily basis. You know, I come home from work. Of course, children need to be taken care of. Dinner needs to be cooked, cleaning and washing and things like that needs to be done. So I may need for my daughter to handle the baby for 10 or 15 minutes while I get dinner on the table. Or I may need, you know, for her to change a diaper while I, you know, finish up an editing gig or whatever. You know, there's always some level of delegation that's required for me in order for me to be productive. Because the reality is that if I try to do everything myself, nothing will get done. You know, there's always something that needs to be done. So I have to be willing to delegate some of those things to those who are around me and near me and accessible in order to be as productive as possible. So we're going to take a break. I will be back in just a few minutes to talk about some of the misconceptions that people have about independence. Do you overcommit yourself? Carry problems and burdens that you know are detrimental to your peace and well-being? Do you have difficulty walking away from things that you know are no longer serving you? Do you feel paralyzed even though you know you need to move on from something? Then The Courage to Walk Away was written for you. This book chronicles various life events where Erica Anderson learned to navigate some of life's most chaotic moments. From challenges stemmed from childhood hurt to the devastation of a failed marriage, Erica's story will inspire you, empower you, and propel you to walk in the courage needed to move forward with your life. Get it online at innerbeautyreigns.com, on Amazon, or at barnesandnoble.com. All right, we're back. And now I want to talk about a few of the misconceptions that people have about independence. And this more speaks to this idea of being an independent woman in a society that has pushed this notion that, and it's not even just society that has pushed it, from a cultural standpoint and as a Black woman, that has been something over the years that I have seen and experienced and even engaged in and taken on a personal level. And I have now come to a place in my adulthood where I realized that whole notion that I got this and I can do this and I don't need help is for the birds. It is for the birds. I can remember different times during my life, especially in my journey of learning how to walk away from things that weren't serving God's purpose for my life, where I got overwhelmed and just overburdened and just stretched too thin in trying to present this image that I had it all together, that everything was okay. I remember when I was married, I was a part of several ministries at church. I remember at one point I was a part of, I think, about 6 or 7 different ministries. And I was doing that along with going to a job every day, full-time job. At that time, I only had one child, my daughter. And so managing, taking care of her, doing hair every week, you know, making sure food was on the table every night. And that was with having a husband who was at work 16 hours a day sometimes, and on a consistent basis, like consistently not home 10, 12 hour days, but sometimes working in excess of 16 hour days. So I say that to say that I went through a period of time where I thought that trying to juggle everything was me proving some level of success as a mother, as a wife, as, you know, a woman. But there came a point where I realized that it had sent me into a state of depression. And so in dealing with that depression, it was, first of all, the beginning of the end of my marriage at that time, because I realized that I was doing the work of two people when what I was doing was designed. It was a load that was designed to be carried by two people. And so it made me reassess some things in my life at that time. But as time moved on and I started to become intentional about personal development, I came to a point where today, as a woman, it is important to me to have people and resources around me to be able to delegate. I can remember being called controlling at one point. And it wasn't a situation where I was really being controlling. It was because I looked around and I was delegating and I was dealing with people who did not want to be dealing with being delegated to. It's kind of like a power struggle, so to speak. For me, if you say you want to be a part of the equation and you're being offered, you know, a part of the equation, you can make a choice on whether or not you take it or leave it, but that doesn't make me controlling. It just doesn't. But at any rate, in this quest of me learning how to delegate, you know, a part of that has been not allowing people to make me feel like I'm wrong for delegating, or making me feel like I'm supposed to carry the burden and not ask for help. Because I think a part of the conditioning that we have experienced as a people has been this notion that, you know, if she's carrying it, she's okay. But what I've learned for myself is that I don't have to carry it, especially if there are other parties involved who should be helping to carry it. So anyway, said that to segue into these misconceptions that we have about independence. Number one, proving that you don't need help. I have been in that situation many times where, and this goes back to that season that I spoke about, where I put on this front, like, I didn't need help from anybody. I got this. I'm doing this. But it only put me in a position where psychologically I was burying myself. I was burying the things that I needed to be dealing with. And ultimately it manifested in the form of depression. It manifested in the way of me taking on things that really weren't serving me well. The second thing, refusing help. The second misconception that people have is about independence is that if they refuse help, it's showing some sort of independence. But the reality is that when you refuse help, you're only putting yourself in a position to have to probably need it even more. Not only that, refusing help often leads us to situations where we have to mitigate the effects of situations in an even greater way. So it's not, and I think I just said the same thing in different words, at the end of the day, refusing help really doesn't serve you well, because if it's being offered to you, you should take it. And I think there's also that, well, I don't think, I know so. There's that sense of pride in not accepting help sometimes because of shame or embarrassment or, you know, different elements that come along with, you know, kind of not wanting people to know what you're going through and dealing with. But I think one of the things that we really have to be intentional about embracing is transparency. I think the more we allow ourselves to be transparent about the things that we're going through, the more people will be able to identify with it. And it may not completely prevent people from going through depression and anxiety and the different things that manifest as a result of not dealing with things. But at the same time, it gives people the ability to relate to you so that when we do go through things like that, we are able to come together and provide help to each other, whether it's, you know, I know how to edit and I have a friend who wants to write a book, but they're stressed about writing the book because they don't know what to do. Well, hey, your friend over here is kind of an expert on that. You know, there's no need to be embarrassed about not knowing how to write a book. Most people don't know how to write books. The vast majority of the books that I edit, I just don't have the words to explain how jumbled up sentences are and words are and how much, you know, restructuring has to go into, or rewriting, I should say, has to go into the editing process. So just don't be afraid to ask for help and don't refuse help when it's offered to you. So another misconception that people have about independence is this notion that you have to mask that you need help. And this goes back to what I talked about in the beginning, where I said that people put on an image. They put on this, you know, they have the job, they have the car, they have the clothes, but deep down they're in debt, because they're trying to maintain that image. That's the best example I can give of that particular misconception. And it happens so often. And I've even just had conversations with people who were in a place emotionally and internally where they were making these statements like, you know, I wish I could do this like these people did because, you know, I feel like I would enjoy that. And while it's one thing to aspire to do something because you're inspired or encouraged by the outcome that happened for somebody else, it's a completely different thing to want that out of jealousy or out of coveting. It's a completely different situation because, first of all, you don't know what people went through or did in order to attain the things that they have projected this image for. And this is a conversation I've had with a family member on just so many different occasions because they, you know, went through college and they were disappointed that they saw so many other people with cars and apartments and things like that. And while I understood where they were coming from and feeling like they had been neglected to some degree by, you know, the people who were in their lives, at the same time, I explained to them, like, you don't know what those people did or what they have access to in order to have those things. You don't know how much those car payments are that they're paying. You don't know whether or not they actually have jobs to maintain that and whether they're going home and hiding that car in a garage so that it doesn't get repossessed. You don't know if, you know, they're a week away from being evicted from those apartments. You don't know what people's situations are. So you have to be careful about looking at somebody else's situation and saying that you want what they have because you don't know what they're going through in order to maintain having that. So with that, I just want to say that as a woman and as a Black woman at that, being in this society where, you know, this last couple of decades has been, especially from the standpoint of looking at the music industry, how much music has promoted this idea of the independent woman. I mean, from, you know, Beyonce and that whole wave to, I remember, I want to say it was Webby. I don't think it was Boosie. Whoever it was had a song where they completely spelled out the word independent throughout the song. And, you know, it was talking about a woman and how, you know, she got her own car and she got her own job and all this kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, yes, we should be on paths that allow us to make a living for ourselves. At the end of the day, independence isn't about the things that you've attained. Independence is about your ability to make choices. It's about critical thinking. Being independent is about productivity and efficiency. How can you truly claim independence if what the decisions that you're making for your life are causing you to repeat the same cycles? How can you say that you're independent if the decisions that you're making aren't allowing for results that are efficient? And that could be different for everybody because, you know, not everybody gets married in their 20s and, you know, has a child by their 30s. And, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. Whatever your path is, whatever your journey is, it's for you. However God allows your life to unfold, it's for you. But sometimes because of our ability or lack of ability to make quality decisions, it causes us to repeat cycles or it causes delays in us being able to experience some of the things that we're trying to experience or attain the things we're trying to attain because of the decision-making process. And it really makes me think about a season of my life where I was engaged with somebody who was a very poor decision maker. I was concerned about some of the things that I saw, you know, at a certain point in, you know, the relationship with that person. But I thought that maybe it was because of what they were going through at that time. I knew that they were experiencing some things that was, you know, hindering them in that season of their life. But another 6 to 8 months went by and I had to recognize for myself that what I was seeing was the result of a pattern and habits that this person had. And I couldn't allow myself to continue to be in the balance of that person's decision making because at the end of the day, I found myself continuing to have to fix issues and problems that were the result of that person's bad decision making. So that's another thing that you have to consider in your quest or your journey, of independence, making sure that you understand how the opinions and decisions that the people around you are making on your life. Because at the end of the day, it is up to you to choose what level of interaction and engagement you have with people who are making decisions that may not fare well for you. And you must be intentional about choosing how to handle that. You know, we talk about people and their negative energy and I don't allow this kind of energy in my space and all that kind of stuff. But what about people who are making bad decisions? Are you paying attention to how other people's decisions are affecting your life? Are you being intentional about whether you allow that person's space in your life? Are you being intentional about removing people who make decisions that are affecting your life? I remember years ago, I was connected to a couple and the young lady was sharing a story with me about how one of her best friends, you know, they used to go out drinking and it had been a while since they had gone out drinking And she got a call at like 2 a.m. one day from the best friend. And she had gotten pulled over. She had been drinking. And she wanted her to come pick her up. And she said, you know, she had to make a really difficult decision because this wasn't the first time she had called her wanting to, you know, get out of trouble or, you know, needing help in a situation like that. And she basically said that she made the decision not to go help her because she's like, first of all, I have a family. I have a husband. I have a household. Like I have a home life that I have to deal with. So when you make a decision to go out and be irresponsible, I don't have to, you know, keep bailing you out when you go and do things that are irresponsible. No, like you need to get yourself together. And she made a decision to stop entertaining her. And ultimately the friendship dissolved, but I was proud of her for making a decision not to allow that friend and her toxic behaviors and habits to take up space in her life. And that's something that we have to be more intentional about. You know, we talk about loyalty and people are always talking about loyalty, but I think there's a fine line between loyalty and codependence. And it's important to consider how you move when it comes to loyalty. Loyalty does not mean I condone everything you do. Loyalty doesn't mean that I come and bail you out every time you do something stupid. Sometimes there's something called tough love. And so if you can't take the loyalty and the tough love, then you don't want me as a friend. If you don't want the accountability along with, you know, the generosity within the friendship, then you don't want the friendship. You have to take. It's all or nothing, you know? So anyway, we will be back. All right, we're back and we're going to wrap up. I just want to share one last thing. And that is that you don't have to do things the way everybody else does them in order to be successful, in order to be independent, or in order to be productive. If what you're doing in your life produces the best outcome and works for you, let it work for you. There's no cookie cutter way to do life. There's no cookie cutter way to have a relationship with God. That's one of my biggest pet peeves with religion today. There's this idea that in order to have a relationship with God, you have to do things a certain way. And the reality is that everybody is on a different step in their walk with God. So where one person may go to church every Sunday and serve in a lot of different ministries like I did, if that works for them and they're thriving, great. There are some people who attend online church every week and it works for them. And there are some people who do small groups in their homes and that works for them. It's important for you to seek out what's best for you and walk out your life according to the revelation that God gives to you. And when it comes to independence, stop allowing society, social media, other people tell you what independence should be for you. Because if you need to delegate in order for your life to be productive, good. That's great. That's okay. If you have a living situation that is not the traditional living situation, but it's working for you, do that. If you choose not to have, you know, a car, but you still get to your job every day and you're not burdening other people, do what you got to do. But follow your own path and be great. That is this week's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions or show topics, you are welcome to email them to innerbeautyreigns@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the website, innerbeautyreigns.com, where I have some publications, The Courage to Walk Away. I have a devotional that's coming, as well as another workbook that's being released soon. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Inner Beauty Reigns. Talk to y'all next time. And don't forget, it all starts on the inside.